This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. You're listening to our podcast. Our program would not exist without our listeners who support their local public radio stations, so we want to start by saying thanks.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from HBO, presenting The Wire. The final season premieres this Sunday at 9 p.m.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Happy New Year. Today, we conclude our holiday retrospective of some of our more entertaining interviews from 2007. We have an interview with and performance by the great singer, songwriter, guitarist, and record producer, Nick Lowe. He's probably best known for writing the songs Cruel to Be Kind, which made the American Top 20 in 1979, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, which Elvis Costello recorded, and The Beast in Me, which Johnny Cash recorded. In the 70s, as a member of the band Brinsley Schwartz, Lowe helped start the pub rock movement in England. He also produced Elvis Costello's first few albums. Our rock critic Ken Tucker wrote about Lowe's latest CD, At My Age, in Entertainment Weekly. Ken described it as a beautiful and provocative album with fine original and cover songs that showcase Lowe's enduring knack for rousing melodies and wry wordplay. Nick Lowe performed some songs from At My Age when he came to the Fresh Air studio with his guitar last July. Nick Lowe, welcome back to Fresh Air. It is really great to have you back on our show. I'd like to ask you to start by performing a song that leads off your new CD, At My Age, and the song is called A Better Man. It's an original song. Do you want to introduce it for us?
Yeah, sure. This is a simple country and western song, my favorite kind.
In my life, I've done things I'm not proud of. And too often, watched my dreams turn to sand. But it looks like I might have turned a corner. You make me want to be a better man. There's no new leaves left for me to turn over. I'm in a prison built by my own. I pray at last I've found salvation. You make me want to be a better man. I can't go on living this way. And that's a fact, I know you understand. I don't know much, but one thing's for certain. You make me want to be a better man.
Oh, that's such a great song. Thank you for doing that. You introduced that as a country and western song. What makes a country western?
Well, it's just got that lilt, I suppose. I can hear that that little lilt, and it's very simple. It's got a direct lyric. They're surprisingly hard to write, really, those songs.
Why?
Well, in order to keep the message really direct, it's very hard not to sort of waffle and what's the word? Obfuscate.
One thing about country songs is that the title is often a catchphrase, like in this, like A Better Man.
Yeah, I got it from a Jack Nicholson movie I was watching one night. He goes out with Helen Hunt, who's the waitress that he sort of falls in love with, and he makes a complete idiot of himself on a date they go on. And she says, why are you doing this? Why do you bother with me? And he says, because you make me feel like a better man. You make me want to be a better man. That's what he said. And it just, you know, I was watching it one night doing something at the same else at the same time. But, you know, a line like that came out of the TV, you know, and that's, hey presto, you know, you've got an idea for a song.
While we're on the subject of titles, the title of your album is At My Age. Mm. Why did you give it that title?
Well, it was just a snappy title, you know. It was suggested by my other half's mother was reading an article about doing people who have retired but don't really want to just put their feet up anymore. You know, they might want to do something that's quite adventurous, and the article was called At Your Age, you know, with a question mark, and it was suggested At My Age might be a good title. So there's no more than that to it. It's amazing with the album titles. After a while, you could really call them anything, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like Chicago used to do it. But
and what is your age now?
I'm 58 now.
Well, a lot has happened in your life since you were last on the show in 2001. Both your parents died. You have a son now. You have a young son. You've become a father.
Mm.
Do you feel like your life is in a completely different place than it was a few years ago?
Well, say, it certainly is. Yeah, especially with the son and heir coming along. I mean, I never thought I'd ever have children, and he suddenly turned up, and he's absolutely delightful. You know, I think he's great, but he is a blooming nuisance. There is no doubt about it. You know, there is a. I know I'm misquoting somebody here, but somebody said, "When the pram's in the hall, inspiration's out of the window," or something like that. And it's quite true. It's very, very difficult to. I find that in order to write songs the way I did, I had to have an unlimited amount of time to stare out of the window, to go and do, you know, whatever I needed to do. That is a distant memory now.
Is there something that's compensating for that in terms of inspiration?
The boy is so great, you know, that it's. I mean, I can remember so clearly what it was like before I had children, and how, you know, when my friends had kids, you know, how my eyes would glaze over, you know, when they would talk about them. That I'm absolutely terrified of being one of those sort of doting parents, you know, especially. At my age, but they are so. I mean, I never understood the word delight, you know, really, until I had a child. Because you really do delight in your children, and thank goodness you do. That nature has it like that. That you fall in love with them more and more. Because if you didn't, you would ring somebody up and get them to come and take them away.
Is it taking you into any different musical directions? Because, you know. Because you might want to put your child to sleep with a song or introduce him to songs that you want to be in his kind of genetic material.
Yes.
So it's his basic musical vocabulary when he grows up.
Yes, I suppose so. I mean, I make up little silly songs with him in the bath, you know. But he likes, again, you know, you meet parents who say, oh, my kid loves The Clash, you know. No, they don't. You know, the parents are trying to force-feed their kids this, you know, they're poor little devils. But he does seem to like rockabilly music, which is quite handy because it's got that chugging beat. I mean, I play him this... Well, a country boy named Shorty and a city boy named Dan decided they were going to raid to win Miss Lucy's hand. Now Dan had all the money, he also had the looks, but Shorty must have had something, boy, you can't be found in books. Well, cut across, Shorty, Shorty, cut across, that's what Miss Lucy said. Cut across, Shorty, Shorty, cut across, it's you I'm gonna wear. Loves that thing. I can play that all day and night. And Rock Island Line he likes as well. I play that one too. But it's that beat that he just goes crazy for that.
So that's just going to be embedded in him from here on in.
Well, I'll
not a bad thing.
I'm going to try not to embed anything in him, really. But it's hard not to. And he does like it. But he's a little boy. I mean, he might reject it completely.
So you found it hard to write songs since becoming a father, because there's no like uninterrupted time.
Yeah, it is very, very hard indeed. But I've just got to find a way around it. I mean, I can feel now that there's something about to go. It's going to be different from how it's been in the past, mm-hmm. but I can feel that there's something is going to happen, and I don't know what it is, but you just have to find a way around it.
He's what, two or three?
He's two and mm-hmm. some now, mm-hmm. two and a half. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My guest is Nick Lowe. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is singer, songwriter, and guitarist Nick Lowe. His latest CD is called At My Age. I'm going to ask you to do another song from the CD. And this is called I Trained Her to Love Me. And it's a really funny song. I'd like you to introduce the song and tell us about writing it.
I'm so glad you think it's funny, Terry, because you're right. It is, of course, a funny song. A funny song about misogyny, you know, that's just what the world needs, another one. But it's funny. When I wrote this song, I started doing it on tour in the United States. I just thought I'd put it in the set. And usually people like to hear a song on record a few times before they'll give you a nice clap, you know, when they hear something they don't recognize. But usually you don't get any reaction. But this song immediately sort of galvanized the audience. And a lot of women knew what I was sort of getting at, that it wasn't me talking, you know, it's just a character that I've made up. But it's amazing how many, and some men did get it as well, but it's amazing how many of the male members of the audience were sort of jumping to their feet and punching the air, you know, going, "Yeah, Nick, way to go, man."
Not the reaction you wanted.
Any reaction is great, you know. But anyway, so I'll play it then. Shall I?
Great.
Do you see the way she lights up when I walk in the room? That's good. And the skip in her step when we're both out walking in the neighborhood. This one's almost done, now to watch her fall apart. I trained her to love me so I can go ahead and break her heart. If you think that it's depraved and I should be ashamed, so what? I'm only paying back womankind for all the grief I got. I've got the latest believing forever I'll be true. I trained her to love me, now excuse me, I've got work to do. I trained her to love me, I'm gonna start working on another after this. And when I get that one in a state of bliss, betray her with a kiss. Well, one time one cut up rough told me I only do this 'cause I can. And I'm bound to wind up one lonely, twisted old man. But look out, look out. Here comes a prime contender for my agenda, if ever there was one. And I'm gonna train her to love me until it's time to do what must be done. Train her to love me, and I'm gonna start working on another after this. And when I get that one in a state of bliss, betray her with a kiss. I trained her to love me. Too late, to stop now.
That's Nick Lowe performing the song I Trained Her to Love Me. He wrote the song, and it's also featured on his new CD, At My Age. I remember once when you were on our show, you were talking about how when you write songs, you often think of a character and then basically write a song for that character to sing. And this strikes me as an example of that.
Yes.
Let's hope.
Yes, of course. Of course. Well, it's provocative. It's a provocative title. I don't know where the title came from. I thought it up one day. And you don't, you know, you can't just say, oh, no, I don't want to write a song about that. You know, it'll upset too many people. You know, if something like that comes along, you think, fantastic, you know, I've got a live one here. But yes, it's quite fun to write a song about someone who is so unrepentant. And and as I say, when I was doing it on the tour, it was great fun to see people, you know, get so some people laugh and some people got quite upset, and other people, as I say, the air punchers, you know, were doing something else.
Now, just to show like your versatility and taking different points of view, you have a song on the same CD, At My Age, that's written from the point of view of somebody who's patiently trying to woo the woman
yes.
he loves. Would you just do a few lines of Rome Wasn't Built in a Day?
Yeah, sure.
You don't know it, but I've made my mind up. You'll wind up in my arms. First I have to break down your resistance to my charms. Yes, darling, I know it won't be easy, but I won't rest until I find a way. Everybody knows that Rome wasn't built in a day.
Oh, that's great. You know, one of the things I really love about you is when I listen to your songs, I hear influences. Like on your new CD, I hear some Sam Cooke, I hear Memphis, I hear a little Arthur Alexander. But whatever I'm hearing, it's all you. I mean, it never sounds like anything but Nick Lowe. Do you know what I mean? And I just think that that's so great that, you know, there's so many influences that have gone into making you, but you never sound like you're imitating anybody.
Oh, well, that's wonderful to hear. Yes, I think when you start out writing songs, you copy your favorite artist, you know, slavishly, really. Just rewrite their stuff. And then when you've done them, you move on to somebody else and do somebody else. And then the day comes when you'll be working on rewriting your latest favorite songwriter, and you will add a little bit of the first guy that you did. You know, you'll put that in, and then as you go on, you'll put a bit of the second bloke in as well, and the fourth, you know, and so it is. I mean, because it's all been done before. There isn't anything original under the sun. Only the way you tell it, you know, and the way you put it together.
When you know, early in your career, you did a lot of covers.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Was that helpful to you as a songwriter because you got so deep into the architecture of other people's songs?
Well, I think so. Yes, I was also. What I think of it as being lucky enough to when I started out. The situation was still prevalent of you could go to Germany and play in these clubs. Everyone knows that the Beatles did that, you know, went to Hamburg. Well, that it was dying off really then, but you could still do that, and you went to these clubs in Germany and France, and you had a residency for a month in these places, and you'd play all night, or at least until 2 or 3 in the morning, and then at the weekends you play all day and all night. And in those days, we used to do 2 45-minute sets. That's what all the bands did. So it didn't take very long for us, our puny little hour and a half that we had, even though we larded it up with drum solos and things, guitar solos and things, to try and make it go a bit further. It was driving us mad to have to play all those hours. So we'd get on and go in the afternoons and get in the DJ's booth and learn up all the songs that the punters, you know, the clients in the club were dancing to, at that time it was mainly soul and R&B music. Who's Making Love? I remember that one. Johnny Taylor, that was a very, very big one. I guess I'd never heard that one. It always reminds me of Paris, actually, in the 1969, that song.
Can you name a couple of songs that you used to cover back then that were so, like, perfectly made that you almost, like, studied how they were put together to see, like, what makes a really good song?
Oh, yes. The one was... If you need a little loving, call on me. And if you want some kissing, call on me. I'll be there, right there at home. All you gotta do is pick up your telephone and dial 6-4-5-7-8-9. That's my number, 4-5-7-8-9. All that sort of stuff we used to do.
No, what makes that a great song?
Well, it's just an extremely easy song to sing. If you need a little loving, call on me. 6-3-4-5-7-8-9. What's pure genius.
Nick Lowe, recorded last July. We'll hear more of his interview and performance in the second half of the show. His latest CD is called At My Age. In February, his first solo CD, Jesus of Cool, will be reissued in a 30th anniversary edition. Here's a track from it. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
What a fabulous night. Look at the moon and stars all shining bright. It's a wonderful night, all right. Oh, it's so heavenly.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're concluding our holiday retrospective series by listening back to the interview and performance that Nick Lowe recorded on our show last July after the release of his CD, At My Age. But before we get back to that, we're going to take a brief detour to Lowe's 1995 Fresh Air performance when he played what is probably his best-known song, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. He first recorded it in 1974. Elvis Costello recorded it in 78.
As I walk this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity. Oh, yes, I ask myself, is all hope gone? Is there only pain, hatred, and misery? Oh, yeah. And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Ooh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
That's a great song. Elvis Costello recorded that too.
Well, he really brought it to the public's attention. You know, I recorded it with Brinsley Schwartz, that I wrote the song for back in about 73 or 74. And Elvis recorded it and brought it to everyone's attention, really. In fact, a lot of people really think of it as it being Elvis's song.
What was the original tone that you meant that song to have? Irony, serious?
Yeah, it was meant to be a sort of joke, really. I thought it was really pompous, you know, as I walk this wicked world. You know, here I was 22, you know, 22 years old and seen it all. And I thought it was a sort of a joke, you know, except I thought the title was good. I thought that was good. But when Elvis cut it, he really sounded like he meant it and thought it was, you know, he made it sort of anthemic. And he really gave it some soul and charged it up.
So did you find yourself singing it differently after hearing him sing it?
Well, I certainly saw it differently. Yeah, I certainly did see it differently. And because it turned people on so much, and you could see how much people really, really identified with it and liked it. And you can't knock that, you know, when that happens. Because there's no rhyme or reason to it why people will grab onto something. And when it happens, it really is a wonderful thing.
That was Nick Lowe on Fresh Air in 1995. Let's get back to his performance and interview from last July.
Did you ever have like a songwriting mentor who sat down with you and went over your songs with you and said, this works and this doesn't? Or, you know, who you could like ask questions to about songwriting?
No, but I met a guy called Jim Ford when I was very young, who I've been extremely influenced by. Very, you know, an extraordinary man who came to London to make a record, and the band I was in was hired to back him up. And he was way, way better than we were. Not apparently, you know, when you saw him, he could barely play the guitar, but he had soul, really, that's what he had. And he also had this blues timing, which we didn't know anything about. We were just kids, you know. But he would he would play 16 and a half bars, you know, 17 bars, you know, and wouldn't even know he was doing it. And we'd say, Jim, how long do we stay on that before we change chord? And he'd show us, and then the red light would go on. He'd do it a different way, and we were too green, you know, to understand that you just watch and keep your ears open, and everything will be fine. But we didn't know that. But we got fired from the session.
Why?
Eventually, well, because we just weren't cutting it. You know, we weren't good enough. And in fact, they wheeled in the Grease band after us. You know, Joe Cocker's group, who were much better musicians than us, and even they couldn't actually do it. But he was an extraordinary man. He wrote lots of songs for Bobby Womack, and he also he claimed to have written "Ode to Billy Joe." You know the song?
Yeah, sure.
And really, in the light of what Bobby Gentry has done, I mean, such an extraordinary song and so typical of a Jim Ford song. And Bobby Gentry's never really done anything that's remotely like that. I think that that might be possible.
Well, my guest is Nick Lowe, and he has a new CD called At My Age. And since we've been talking about covers, you do a really good Charlie Feathers song on your new CD called The Man in Love. And I'd like you to play it for us, but could you tell us why you chose this
for
the CD?
Actually, it was my friend Jake Guralnick sent this song to me, and it coincided with me. I bought myself a 12-string guitar for some unaccountable reason. And I was trying to, well, apart from the fact that it takes ages to tune them, you know, they're very difficult to tune, but I was trying to play some sort of Lead Belly, Big Bill Brunsey sort of stuff. Makes you wonder how they used to get it in tune, in fact. But when this song turned up, I sort of adapted it, you know, into a Big Bill Brunsey song. And then I used to play it as a party piece, you know, really, at parties. I'd get this thing out and... and then one day I was playing it in the studio when we were recording the record, and all the people I was playing with said, "Oh, that's good. Why don't we do that?" And so we just knocked it out. Anyway, I'll have a go. Anyway.
Like a man in love, I'm walking around trying to figure out why you put me down. I've traveled over mountains, valleys too, trying to find a way to get to you. Everyone says you're just a flirt, but I know you love to see me hurt. There's no more glow in the moon above to shine down on a man in love. Well, if you get lonesome and you're blue, call me up and I'll come to you. I won't come a running, I'll be flying, I'll be laughing and I won't be crying. Everyone says you're just a flirt, but I know you love to see me hurt. is not enough glow in the moon above to shine down on the man he loves. Everyone says you're just a flat. Maybe you just love to see me hurt. There's not enough glow in the moon above to shine down on a man in love. To shine down on a man in love. To shine down on a man in love. I said there's no more glow to shine down on.
Oh, that's just great. And that's a song Nick Lowe also does on his new CD, and the CD is called At My Age. Now, we had mentioned earlier that both of your parents died in the past few years, and you also became a father a couple of years ago. So it's one of those odd coincidences that seems to happen an awful lot, that at just more or less the same period that a parent dies, a child is born someplace in the immediate or extended family. I don't know that there's any accounting for it, but I've seen that happen, like, so much. So in your life, you lost parents and became a parent within a short distance. And I'm not sure what my question is, I guess, but that certainly changes the way you see yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yes. My mother, when she heard that I was going to be a father, so rolled her eyes, you know, and said, oh, dear, you know, this is not a good idea. But she came round to it, you know, and she absolutely loved the boy, you know. And
so she was alive when he was
born.
Yeah,
she was, yes, for about a year, yes. But she was sad, you know, because she was you know, quite ancient herself, you know, and so she couldn't really do her gig, you know, her granny gig, and which upset her quite a lot. You know, obviously, really. But there you are, you know, there you are.
And what about your father? Was he alive when
you
saw
him? No, he wasn't, no. That is a great pity, because I think he would have really gone for him.
Did you spend a lot of time with your parents when they were sick toward the end?
Well, yes, of course I did. Yes, I was a dutiful son. But my mother, actually, she just sort of made her mind up that she was going to go. She practically sort of danced into the crematorium, really. She was she just saw the writing on the wall that she was going to be in hospital for, you know, they were going to have her in and out. That was it. She was in a nursing home, which she loved. But she had a fall, and she realized that she was going to be in and out of hospital. She said, oh, this isn't for me. You know, she was a very bright and sparky woman. And
she break her hip?
Yeah, and her arm, yes. It was quite nasty. But then she went, they put her on oxygen, you know, and she started hallucinating. It was a bit like being back in with one of my old bands, actually. When I used to go to see her. But quite funny as well, you know. It was quite funny, and she saw the funny side of it. But she said, "Oh, I don't want this. You know, it's time for me to go." But when the old man went, that wasn't very pretty, because he was a very dignified old boy, and he came from that generation where you don't complain, you know, and you don't make a fuss. And it was awful to go and see him in this terrible hospital that he was in, you know, lying there next to this. The television, it was blaring some ghastly soap, you know, people all shouting the odds. It was heartbreaking, actually. That was horrible. But when my mama went, you know, it was actually quite cheerful. But I'm being sort of flippant about it. It's not much fun, you know. When you, as most people know, it's not much fun when they go. But we were a close family, but not actually in each other's pockets. We rather prided ourselves on that, you know, that we really liked each other, but we didn't, you know, phone each other all the time, for instance, you know.
So do you have that feeling now that you don't have parents anymore, that, like, you're that generation now? You know what I mean? Like, there's no generation separating you now.
I suppose I do, really, yes. Yes, I suppose it's inevitable. Yes, and I was always used to being the youngest. You know, it seems a bit rum now, but yes, indeed.
My guest is Nick Lowe. His new CD is called At My Age. He'll be back with his guitar after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is songwriter, singer, guitarist, and record producer Nick Lowe. His latest CD is called At My Age. Lowe brought his guitar to our studio and is performing some songs for us. I want you to end with another song for us. And this is a song called Hope for Us All. And I'd like you to talk about writing it. And I know a lot of your songs really are about characters, and they're not autobiographical at all. But since you are in a relationship and do have a child now, is this song related to that?
Well, it could well be. It was, certainly wasn't conscious. But if you get in a groove and you open yourself up, suddenly you're singing just a pop song, really. But you're singing it with sincerity and heart. So I suppose it has got some sort of autobiographical thing to it.
Well, it has been just absolutely great to have you back on the show and to hear some of your new songs. I really appreciate you performing for us.
Not at all, really. Thank you.
And can you leave us with Hope for Us All? Could you play that for us? And this is one of the songs on Nick Lowe's new CD, At My Age.
People are remarking on the change that's come over me. It can be explained very easily. Out of the blue, someone's come into my lonely world, and now I'm walking tall. And if even I can find someone, there's hope for us all. I had a reputation as a stay-at-home so-and-so. Cause when my friends would call me up and say, let's hit a club, I'd tell them no, 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 no. I must admit there were times when all I ever did was climb the wall. But if even I can find someone, there's hope for us all. Whoa, if even I can find someone, there's hope for us all. Even in my darkest hour, there was still a light somewhere, letting me know by its glow that I'd find comfort there. I walked a lonely street, waiting for love to call. And if even I can find someone, there's hope for us all. Da 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 da. Da. Admit there were times when all I ever did was climb the wall. But if even I, a feckless man who's thrown away every chance he's ever had, who's thrown time to check his fall, there must be hope for us all. Whoa. Hope,
hope for us all.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. And one more thing I have to ask you. I feel like I said goodbye to you before the song, but I have to I have to ask you this. The first time I heard the song, I was listening to the CD in my car. And when you got to the part when even I, a feckless man, I thought, feckless? Wow, what a great word to put in a song. And I realized, although I've heard that word 1,000 times and I've read it thousands of times, I didn't really know exactly what the word meant, so I figured, like, I'd look it up in a dictionary. So you sent me to the dictionary, and I wrote down all the words that it means. It's feeble, futile, ineffective, aimless, irresponsible.
Excellent.
Is that a word you would typically use in conversation, or did it just come to you for the song?
I think I would use it in conversation, yes, but because it is a sort of old-fashioned word, and sometimes it's quite fun to shove in, you know, showing off, I suppose, but it is. It's a great word,
and it's so parenthetical in the songs. Like an even I, a feckless man. It's so great. That's a beautiful song. Thank you so much. And I just want to compliment you. You know, like on the CD, like there are some songs that are really moving, like that one, and some songs that are really kind of like funny and ironic. And you have such range. I just really thank you.
It's
for,
very
for that.
Kind.
Thanks
of you.
A lot.
Thank you, Terry.
Nick Lowe recorded in July 2007. At the end of each year, rock critic Ken Tucker finds one or two albums he feels didn't get enough attention from a bigger audience. From 2007, that album is Sarah John's debut, Big Love in a Small Town. Ken says it's the showcase for what could be a major country music talent.
Never moved to the big old city.
Sarah Johns hails from rural Kentucky, and she co-wrote every song on her first album, Big Love in a Small Town. If that thumbnail sketch seems to put Johns in the same company as Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn, I should also throw in the detail that Sarah Johns is also a fan of Faith Hill. All of which means, on the evidence of this music, that Johns feels most secure when a fiddle and a steel guitar are helping her into the honky-tonk. But she also knows the value, both commercially and for the nourishment of one's soul, of a grand ballad. The result on John's album isn't a mishmash of influences, but a combination of consistency and eclecticism that's mighty impressive for a major label debut.
I wish I could blame it on him, but I know it's my pride that led to his tail lights. I had to have the last word, me and my big man. My life just walked down, and that's a lot to let go. That's a tough one.
That's Sarah Johns suggesting why it's sometimes a mistake to bail out of a relationship too hastily, not a sentiment you hear too much in pop music of any sort. Johns' album was released in early 2007. Its first single, The One in the Middle, only cracked the top 40 on the country charts. It should have been a much bigger hit. This is one reason country songs were invented. The One in the Middle takes a mildly risque image, applies some clever wordplay, and doesn't shy away from the emotions behind someone joking furiously but bitterly about being treated badly.
You fooled
Oh, and I forgot to mention that that song is not only clever, it's really catchy. For those of you with the memory, I'd say that's a song Roger Miller would have been happy to have written. It's always an achievement when you can unite low-down humor with high-flown sentiments. She does it again on a song called He Hates Me. This, too, takes a classic country songwriting approach. The verses begin with John's exulting over a crush she has on a new guy, and by the time we reach the chorus and the second verse, she's coming on like the nicest stalker you'd ever take out a restraining order for.
I met a guy last night, and girl, I felt the earth move. If you'd have been there, I swear you would have felt it too. But I spilled red wine on his white shirt.
I don't know what the only middling success of Sarah Johns' album means in a Nashville where, these days, you frequently get one shot at the big time and then you're out. I do know that she has a big voice that's also capable of intimacy and ambivalence. And she's got a songwriting talent that needs a second album, if only to prove whether or not she's got the goods to go the distance. Here's hoping her a very productive new year, for Sarah Johns' sake and our potential pleasure.
Ken Tucker is editor-at-large for Entertainment Weekly. He reviewed Sarah Johns' debut album, Big Love in a Small Town.
If you could hold your woman like you hold your whiskey, I'd still be in your arms.
Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Bob Purdick. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Salad, Phyllis Myers, Monique Nazareth, Joan Tui Westman, Sam Brigger, Patty Leswing, and Jonathan Menhivar, who also directed the show. I'm Terry Gross. All of us at Fresh Air wish you a happy new year.